passage of scripture and hold it very dear to our heart. Did everyone get a program? You've not received a program, but you shoot your hands up, ushers, quickly. Anyone did not receive a program, program. Amen. Just shoot your hands up, Amen. Let's take a look at a passage of scripture in Matthew 6:33. And I trust today that when you leave here, you would have taken that passage of scripture and would have committed to your memory. Amen. You were committed to your memory because it's so important. And that's our theme verse of 2019. Amen. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I want us all to read straight from the screen together. I want everyone, if you're able to read, if you're able to fasten your eyes on this, want us all to read it together. Amen. For the word of the Lord says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I want the side to my right. I want you all to recite that just all by yourself. But okay, we'll give you another try. All right, this side over here. Here we go. But. Okay, back to my right. Try it one more time. But. Okay, back over here. Here we go. Okay, everybody together. But seek. Amen. Amen. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God that you have the power and the capability to stand on that promise and make God your single and most important priority in this new year, This morning, I want to speak to your message. I've entitled Accepting God's Agenda in your life, for your life. So accepting God's agenda for your life, I don't care what things may look like, but at the end of the day, the agenda of God will always be the preferred agenda to live your life by. You may think your agenda is looking very well, but there's something about the agenda of God. When the agenda of God becomes your agenda, you will not have to work as hard as some of you are working right now. Because remember what he said. Remember what the passage of scripture says, that when you put God first, then he'll just go ahead and give all of that stuff to you. Some of us are working very hard at the grind. We're working hard. We're doing overtime and we're doing everything we can to get ahead. But sometimes it seems like you got holes in your pocket. You know what that means, when there's like holes in your pocket. Amen. Holes in your pocket means the money is coming in, but it's getting lost somewhere in the mix. Somebody need to sew up some pockets today. And one way of sewing those pockets up is to focus on God's agenda. It is the kingdom agenda, people of God, that is priority over this earth. I don't care what number 45 is doing in Washington. It's not about number 45 in Washington. It is about the kingdom agenda. We are putting so much attention on number 45. But what about God's agenda, people of God? What about God's ability to provide to the federal workers when there is no income coming in? What about God's agenda to provide for you when you're out of work and when the mortgage company is knocking it? What about God's agenda? What about God's agenda? So accepting God's agenda for your life. You can make that decision this early on in the year by simply declaring that is God's agenda that's going to reign supreme in my life. You know, I'm often caught up with situations and circumstances that seeks to interfere with God's agenda for even my life. There are challenges on every front that seeks to interfere with God's agenda. But we have the purpose in our heart. You have to make a decision that is going to be God's agenda before anything else. Most of us wake up every morning with some kind of agenda that we want to accomplish. I don't know about you, but I like to start most of my days off by putting a things to do list. You say, well, Pastor, why that's so important? Why that's so important? Well, I've learned that if you don't write it down and focus on it, more than likely you won't get to it because you're bombarded by so many things. I've learned if you write it down, you have a very close chance of accomplishing it. But if it's not written down, you will more than likely not get to it. There was a sidebar to some of you that going through days where you're not accomplishing anything, perhaps start with a things to do list and slip Jesus in at the top of the list. Amen. Put Jesus on the top of the list. That way you get him in. You see, we don't always hit our mark, but we do experience small victories over completed projects. Because we live in a fallen world, there are many opportunities for our plans to fail miserably. We find ourselves questioning God on whether his hand is really over our lives, or are we just floating without a sail through the dark waters of this life. The desperation of our situation can cloud, you see, the reality of God's control over our lives. Not just for us individually, but for our community, the community of our people, in fear of the unexpected or the unknown. Does God knows what he's doing? I don't know how many of you have raised that question before. God, do you know what you're doing? I don't know how many of you have raised a question before in the midst of tragedies, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of situations that have become dull and bad and drought. I don't know how many of you have ever questioned God. Do you know what you are doing? I don't know if there are some witnesses in the house this morning that you've questioned God and said, God, do you really know what you are doing? Do you know what's going on down here on planet Earth? Of course, yet we learn that in the midst of all of this, that God has called us to become disciples of him. He's called us to accept his plan and his agenda for our lives. His plan and his agenda for our lives. I've already told you earlier that there is no agenda superior and as awesome as the agenda of God. You see, what you want and what you desire so deeply, how many believe that God can do it just like that? Amen. Amen. He can do it just like that. He can fix all broken situations just like that. And so his agenda will always outweigh your agenda. I came by this morning competing, people of God, competing to convince you to drop your agenda and take on God's agenda. Drop your agenda that causes sleepless nights. Drop your agenda that causes you to have to take medication because of blood pressure and anxiety attack. Drop your agenda that causes you to pull out what little of your hair you may have. Drop your agenda and take on the agenda of God. So I want to just share with you just a few things or some things that can help you. I want you to get your pen out and grab your outline there that we provided to you and see if we can get this thing right. But first of all, what we have to establish, we need to agree first and foremost that we are interested in God's agenda. I didn't say, are you willing to accept God's agenda? Yeah, we'll get there. But I want to know this morning in the midst of this gathering here today that how many in here are interested in the agenda of God? You're interested in the agenda of God. Amen. Amen. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm happy to know that there are some interests in the agenda of God. There's some interest in the agenda of God. I want you to grab a pen and follow along with me. And this right here is an acronym of accept. Again, I didn't say accept the agenda first. I'm just asking for some interest. But these acronyms, and the first acronym we're going to look at is A. And A simply means to agree that God is in control and not man. I want you to say that along with me. You guys got to wake up. Shake the person next to you and say, agree that God is in control and not man. I mean, you got to agree when you're looking at accepting the agenda of God. You got to agree that man is not pulling the strings, that man is not in control, that God is in control. Notice in Psalms 113 verses 5 and 6, he said, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits on the throne on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? You see, at the time the Lord allows kinks, at times he allowed kinks in our plan to do what? To remind us that we aren't in control. We aren't in control. You know, we are human beings, but for some reason, we tend to think that we can outsmart God. We get degrees after degrees. We have more initials after our name, and we think that we are smart and we got it all under control. But sometimes God has to knock on your door and say, Mister, knock on your door and say, brother, knock on your door and say, sister, I'm running this program. Amen. I'm running this program. And anytime we get it twisted, God has a way of allowing us to see that he's controlling everything. So we need to agree that God is in control and not man. It is easy to look at people and accuse them of messing with our agenda. You know, when you got things that you have planned and someone steps in and things tend to not go the way. I was with a gentleman late Friday afternoon. We were in a meeting and there was a plan. There was a plan for this meeting and the plan for this meeting, everything went wrong. And the gentleman said to me, he says, look like everything is going wrong. And I couldn't help but say to him what I'm about to say. I said, perhaps there's another plan. Perhaps there's a bigger plan. Perhaps there's a better plan. So when you accept the agenda of God, you realize that you don't answer to man. You answer ultimately to God. Let's look at C here. C in this accept, and bringing this thing in is to come to trust in him in spite of circumstances around us. Let us all say that together. Come to trust in him in spite of the circumstances around us. Romans 8:28, people of God, is still in the book. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. It's still in the book. In the midst of your sad moments and your downward and discouraging times, I want you to know today, Romans 8:28 is still in the book that simply says, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. So when you look at your life and you see how things are going, you need to remember Romans 8:28. You need to remember that God has a way of turning things around. God has a way of shifting things. God has a way of doing the supernatural things, but yield to his agenda before your agenda. Our joy is full and complete when we know that God is in control. We may feel overwhelmed at our circumstances. We may doubt that God is really working on our behalf when life feels unpredictable. Yet that's when God is most at work. In your broke down moments, in your bad situations, is when God shows himself. Remember the apostle Paul said, he says, when I am weak, it's when he is strong. It's when he is strong. You see what happens, as long as we got this strength, as long as we got this might, it is easy for us to think that we can push walls down. It's easy for us to think that we can make ends meet. It's easy for us to think that we got it all under control. But what happens when you are weak? What happens when you can't go any more? Then all you have left is to trust in God. To trust in God. I remember about a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with some form of a diverticulitis. That's a big word, but it hurts. It hurts. Don't ask for it. Don't get it. Stay away from diverticulitis. That situation caused me to become bed rest. It wasn't that I couldn't walk, but it was every time I walked, pain would just shoot straight through me. Unbearable pain, people of God. So I became bedridden. And at that same time, my eldest son had an asthma attack. And he called, he said, Dad, I can't breathe. Dad, I can't breathe. Get me some medication. Yet, son, Dad, I can't breathe. Dad, I can't breathe. Dad, give me some medicine. And I said, son, I can't go. I can't go. I can't go. And the phone hangs up. Hour later, we get a call that he's in the emergency room. They put him on life support. And so I wasn't able to get out of bed and run and do what I usually do. So I told my wife, I said, go to the hospital, get the family. We're going to pray that God gives him the breakthrough. We're going to pray. The doctor sit down with the family and say, well, he more than likely will not be the same if he makes it through this. But we prayed anyway. So we prayed and they grabbed the cell phone and they put it on his chest as they circled around the room as I was laying in my bed in another location praying. And we prayed and I told God, I said, Lord, put my healing on hold and heal my son. Put my healing on hold and heal my son. And we prayed and we prayed and I reached out to every pastor that I knew. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. The next morning, my oldest daughter, God gives him a word. She said, Dad, I think he's fine now. Tell him to pull him off the machine. She said, I think he's fine. Now pull him off the machine. Take it out. Take it out. Take it out. And they pulled it out of him. And he jumps up. And he says, begin to touch his pockets. Where's my money? Where's my money? We know it was all right when he said that. Where's my money? And so people of God, God pushes us and brings us into situations and circumstances that will cause us to recognize that it's all about his agenda for our lives. That when your plans don't work, sometimes you don't have no other choice but to take a look at God's plan for your life. Number six, letter C, next letter C, is confess your weaknesses honestly. Confess your weaknesses honestly. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Notice what it says. But he said to me, my grace is what? It's sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may do what? May rest in me. So that Christ's power may rest in me. You see, our weaknesses remind us that God is in control. Our weaknesses have a way to keep us humble. Keep us humble. One of the tragedies today in the Christian circle, among many great pastors and preachers and bishops and prophets, is that they become conceited. That's right. They become conceited. And let me tell you, if in case you did not know it, that I don't care how strong you are or strong you claim to be spiritually. And that's a good claim. I'm glad you want to claim it. I'm glad. I wish we all can rejoice and say I'm strong and mighty in the Lord. But one thing not one of us can say and be biblical to say you are strong and mighty physically. Because the scripture already declares that the flesh is, that's right. So don't put too much in it. It's weak, it's undependable, it's not something that will go the distance for you. You got to grab a hold to faith. And so Paul tells us that God's grace is sufficient, that the power of God is made perfect in your time of weaknesses. When God's grace shine in and through you in spite of your weaknesses is a testament of his glorious hand over your life. You see, you will shine the presence of God in ways you could never know by standing in the strength and the might of God. Amen. The strength and the might of a supernatural God that gives us the ability to walk by faith and not by sight. That gives us the ability to speak to demons and warlords and break generational ties. That same power you become acquainted with when you commit yourself to the agenda of God. The agenda of God. God is very careful about who he allows to use his power. Let's look at E. E's an area that none of us, I'm sure, like. E is expect your faith to be tested. Expect your faith to be tested. Some years ago, while in I believe it was graduate school, I had a professor that began the class by simply saying on the first day of school, she simply said, in this class, we will not have any final exams. Right there, I said, wow, I nailed it. In this class, you will not have to turn in any term papers. I nailed it again. And then she said, but in this class, the way I operate is that any given class period, any given time when we would meet, there could be a pop quiz, which all of my check marks went to X's right there. because recognizing that any particular time I could go through a test freaked me out. It meant that I would always have to be ready for that pop quiz. It was very difficult. It meant that I would need to read the textbook from cover to cover because I don't know when another test, another quiz is going to get popped up on us. And so our life is like this. James tells us in James chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, James says it like this here. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Consider it joy whenever you face the trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You got to be tested. You got to be tested. If you are a teacher, and you've been teaching all semester long. Any teachers in the house? Any teachers in the house? Give it up for the teachers. Amen. Thank God for the teachers. Give the teachers a hand. Amen. 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 If you're a teacher and all semester long, you've been teaching them all of this awesome, all this great stuff. But in your mind, you're wondering if Johnny is getting it. If Susie is really getting it, if Jared is getting it, I've been teaching. The only way the teacher will know is when the teacher rolls out a test. Now, if everybody in the class failed the test, then the teacher needs to go back and check her style of teaching and everything to make sure she's connecting with the students. But if the teacher is doing it right and the majority of the students pass, then she knows they're connecting. So in the Christian life, God allows tests to come. That's part of his agenda. If Jesus was tempted and tested, do you think you're going to get a break? Jesus got tested. Do you think you should get tested? But the mere fact that the test comes your way is a message. It's a message in itself. Because it's a message where God is saying that you are ready. Amen. That you are ready. So James says it to us like this. He said, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when your number comes up for you to be tested. It is not fun to have our faith tested. We find ourselves stretched beyond what we would never believe before. That's what it does. Let's look at P. We're almost finished. Number P is pray according. Repeat that after me. I want you to feel it. Pray according to the word of God. Come on, everybody say that. Everybody say that together. Pray according to the word of God. Louder, pray according to the word of God. Now, the reason why that is so significant and so important, because God always honor his word. That's right. God always honor his word. I don't care what is happening. The word of God is still something that you can take to the bank and bank on it. It's still there. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God said, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. You see, when our agenda does not line up with God's agenda, there is a problem there. But when your agenda, can you imagine praying and believing God for something that lines up with his agenda? You have something to stand on. You have something to stand on. So pray according to the word of God. Lastly, take in every thought, every day as a gift from God to show his glory through you. That every day is a gift from God. Every day God extends to you a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. But imagine the one who's giving out the gift. He gives you the gift with the understanding that some way, somehow, that your agenda is going to line up with God's agenda. Your plan is going to line up with God's perfect plan. The scripture tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's a plan of God. It's a plan and the purpose of God. Of God. So people, when you look at God's agenda, it's better than your agenda. It can do the supernatural. Last time I checked, there is nothing in man's agenda that can do the supernatural. But in God's agenda, the supernatural becomes evident. The supernatural is there. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today, the scripture says, and be glad. And be glad. God will do it for you every single day. Every single day when we serve God, nothing happens by a happenstance. Nothing happens by luckiness. Nothing happens because somebody showed up. That everything lines up with God's perfect plan for your life. Accepting God's agenda for your life will carry you a long ways, my brother and my sister. Accepting God's agenda will carry you a long ways. Some of you are believing and hoping for something supernatural, something unheard of to break loose in your life. The problem you got is that when God look at your agenda, he's nowhere on it. And so there's a problem. There lies our problem right there. So I came by today to encourage you to drop your agenda. Drop all the things that you want to do and take on God's agenda. When everything is said and done in 2019, I wonder if anyone can answer this question. What agenda will be the most successful? Is it my agenda over here? Or is it God's agenda over here? Which one? Which one? Can anyone answer the question? Which one is God's agenda? So I came by to tell you, move from here and move over here. Allow the supernatural power of God to be in your agenda every single day. That when things happen that you don't understand, you don't look to yourself. You just look to God. God, I know you're doing something. God, in the flesh, this does not appear to be a good thing. I know you're doing something. Let me know what I need to do differently. And I'm going to continue to trust in you. Drop your agendas today, people of God. Drop your agenda and take on the agenda of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what seek ye first. 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 Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. All these other things, my brother, my sister, will be added unto you. Today you have an opportunity, perhaps of a lifetime, to take on the agenda of our Heavenly Father. Take on his agenda. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand all of this stuff. Neither do I. But I'm taking him by faith. All over this place, all over this place, all over this place. About the release of prayer that's going to encourage you to take on God's agenda for your life. All over this place. Just hold your hands up. Hold your hands up as if you are about to receive something. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for your presence, for your spirit, Lord God. It still reigns supreme on this earth. And I pray right now, Lord God, because it's going to take your spirit to break our spirit. It's going to take your spirit, Lord God, to break our will. It's going to take your spirit to help us to gravitate toward you. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we release your agenda into our lives. That as hands are raised and being recipients of your power, of your might, of your ability, help us, Lord God, to be so committed and more committed than ever before. To put your plans ahead of ours. Oh, Jesus, I pray today. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Ghost will fall afresh upon us, Lord God. That we receive your supernatural goodness, your supernatural power. That is going to take your supernatural power for us to turn to your agenda. Give the people of God, Lord God, everything they need to make this commitment solid today. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor your name. We cover it with the blood of Jesus, and we receive it this day by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise.